morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Day 216 brings us to Psalm 36, and we're in the Psalms, and we're only doing one Psalm, and that's great. I love that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your Word. Write your Word in our hearts. Draw us closer to Christ. Help us to trust in Him more and more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 36 is written to the choirmaster, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. O, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. That is Psalm 36 in the ESV. We have such a contrast here between the sinful ways of wicked man, which we all are, wicked man, in and of ourselves, given our own nature, left to our own devices. This is speaking about us. And that contrast to the great steadfast love and righteousness and faithfulness of God. So verses 1 through 4 give us a portrait of the wicked. Verses 5 through 9 give us a portrait of the Lord. And then 10 to 12 is David's prayer to the Lord that he would continue to know the Lord's steadfast love and righteousness, and that he would not be drawn away after the arrogant, wicked, evildoers. So we need to see ourselves in verses 1 through 4 so that we can wonder at the goodness of God to us. On our own, in our sinful nature, without the grace of God to change our hearts and change our lives, we follow after sin. Transgression speaks to us deep in our hearts. Transgression, breaking God's law. We want to do what we want to do, and we resent and we resist any limitations that the Lord may place on us. We have no fear of God by nature before our own eyes. We flatter ourselves rather than fear the Lord. The contrast is here. Everybody is created to fear the Lord. That means to stand in awe and wonder at God and allow the power and the majesty and the strength and the grace of God to so overwhelm our hearts that we are gripped by the greatness and the goodness of God. That is to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. But instead, we flatter ourselves. We think we're wise and we're clever and the things we want to do are really good. And so we think that we're going to hide from God. We're going to get away from God. God isn't real, or God doesn't need to be dealt with, or God's going to find that I'm basically a good person. Our iniquity won't be found out and hated. You know, we're basically good. Most people, if you ask them, they're convinced that they're basically good people, and that if there is some sort of judgment day before God, that of course they'll pass, because God will look at their life and say, yeah, he basically did what was right, because most people think that the way they want to live their life is the right way to live their life. But that's not true. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. We, by nature, speak in ways that are troublesome and deceitful. We even deceive ourselves. We lie continually, and we don't act according to wisdom. We don't do good. Rather, we plot trouble, and we get ourselves into a way that is not good. We don't reject evil. Again, this is our natural condition. So when we look at unbelievers in the world, as Christians, as those who are born again by the grace of God, as those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, as those who have received from the abundance of God's steadfast love and faithfulness and righteousness our great salvation. When we look at the world and we see unbelievers and we see them doing these things, we look at the world, we turn on the news, we look at politics, we look at the world of entertainment, you know, Hollywood and music and political world, and we see people living this way, we shouldn't be surprised. And we also shouldn't be arrogant. So neither surprise or shock, nor sort of an arrogant, self-righteous judgmentalism should characterize our response to a world that fits the picture of verses 1 through 4. Rather, we should say, that is exactly how people are, which is how I would be if God had not had mercy on me. And it's also why the world deserves God's judgment, and why we should stand in awe of God, because we have not been judged, though we deserve it. So all of that should be shaped by the Word of God. Now let's see how God is, by contrast, verses 5 through 9. Your steadfast love. Notice the beginning of the statement of how God is in verse 5, as well as the beginning of the prayer to God in verse 10, both begin with God's steadfast love. If you know me at all, and you've heard my teaching for any length of time, you know that I love this word in Hebrew, chesed, the chesed of the Lord, the steadfast love, the committed, loyal, faithful, determined, gracious, undeserved, loving kindness of the Lord. English translators of the Bible, going all the way back to the earliest translations in the 1500s, they coined this new word in English called loving kindness, kind of put together the word loving and kindness and name loving kindness as a way to translate chesed. And that is what chesed means. It means loving kindness. But there's also a covenantal commitment behind the loving kindness. There's a steadfastness to it, where God is going to hold steady in that love. He's not going to waver from it. He's not going to shirk it. And so the ESV translators have gone with steadfast love. Some translations translate this word as mercy. Your mercies, O Lord, extend to the heavens. And that's probably a pretty poor translation. There is a different Hebrew word for mercy, which means God treating us with kindness and not punishing us as our sins deserve. And that's certainly part of chesed, but chesed is bigger than just God's mercies. It's his love for his own. And that steadfast love extends to the heavens. And God's faithfulness, which means his promise keeping reliability. That's what God's faithfulness is. That extends to the clouds. His righteousness, that is, that God always does what is right. God is upright in all of his ways, and so he always does what is right. His righteousness is like the mountains of God, strong and stable. Your judgments, that is the wisdom of God to discern what is right and to always judge rightly. His judgments are like the great deep, which means we cannot find them out. We cannot plumb to the depth of the wisdom of God. It is far beyond us. And then he says, man and beast you save, O Lord. God's steadfast love and faithfulness and righteousness and judgments, they're seen in all of God's creation, because God preserves and upholds all of his creation. And so the animals, as well as people, benefit from this. We sometimes call this God's common grace, which isn't the best term for it, because God's common grace makes it sound like it's just ordinary, commonplace, and so therefore we can often think of it as being sort of cheap and uninteresting. Well, that's not at all what is meant by common grace. Common grace means that God is so merciful, so gracious, so kind, so good to all of his creation, that he preserves us, he keeps us alive, he provides for us, even though verses 1 through 4 give us the disposition of people toward God, this transgression, this lack of the fear of the Lord, this lying, this plotting evil. Even though that's how people are toward God, the way God is toward people day after day is characterized by this kindness. Man and beast, you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O Lord, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. All the children of mankind, everybody in the world, takes refuge in the shadow of God's wings. God is good to all that he has made. Now, he has a special love for his people, but he's good to all that he has made. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them to drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. God even reveals himself through his creation if we're willing to see it. But of course, we're not willing to see it. That's what the problem is. The problem why more people don't believe in God is not that God hasn't shown himself. It's that people, like verses 1 through 4 showed, they don't want to know God. They don't want to fear God. They don't want to see God in his creation. They want to deny God. They want to plot against God. So what's the prayer? If God is that good and people are that bad, what's the prayer? Verse 10, O continue your steadfast love to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Everybody receives this steadfast love of God, this faithfulness of God, the righteous judgments of God for a time. And then this life is over. And people pass into the eternal judgment of God, and those who have denied God, those who have continued in their unbelief, those who have rejected who God is and how he's shown himself, they are cut off from the goodness of God forever. And so David prays, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. We've been made upright in heart by the grace of God. We've come to know God because God has shown himself to us internally, not just externally in the creation, but internally in our hearts. And so we want to continue in that knowledge of God. We want to continue in that loving relationship with God. We don't want to fall away from that. Verses 11 to 12, let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. So that's, I don't want to become arrogant. I don't want to give in to the wicked. I don't want to give in to the lies of the world that deny God. There, in the way of the wicked, there the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. And so that's not where we want to be. We want to be continuing in the steadfast love of the Lord, continuing in the righteousness of God for the upright in heart. Psalm 36, beautiful psalm, a good thing for us to pray. Let's pray together. Father, we do live in a world of fallen, rebellious people. And that would be us if you had not had mercy on us. And so we pity those in the world who do not know you and who deny you, who deny your creation, who deny your existence, who deny your righteousness. We pity them. We do pray that you would be pleased to have mercy on them and to save them. But we also pray that you would not allow us to be drawn away by them, to be drawn after them into these foolish ways of denying you and denying your goodness. Continue your steadfast love to us. Continue to extend your righteousness to us by grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to be jumping over to Proverbs. I hope you can join us for that. We will be in Proverbs chapter 8 tomorrow, it looks like. Yep. So hope you can be there for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.